we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's a Lakers snack pack for you. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Plus also as well, Game Source, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, of course, the great folks at LakersBall.com. Go ahead and check out Joe Soro as Ox1947 today at LakersBall.com. Plus, he has a great company, which is the reason why he's just a little tardy today, that he's so busy, because he does a lot of great work, and you can check it out today and be part of that great work that he does if you live in the SoCal area and you want your lawn transformed into something much more magical than it is today. Then check out Simblades, just like on his shirt, Simblades, SimblatesWithTheY.com. Also, our good friends at LakerHolics.com, you know they're going back and forth already on the latest rumor and news that's come down in the NBA that might affect the Lakers, and they're talking about it today at LakerHolics.com. Go ahead and check out Jamie Sweet and also as well the number one Lakers blogger, Laker Tom. Hopefully they'll be able to come out with their own show again, another episode coming out real soon on LakerHolics Spotlight, so we'll see. But that's right there, of course, starts at LakerHolics.com. Also as well, I want to go ahead and check out our good friend, Mr. Stone Hansen. He's working hard. Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. He said he is going to be back on the show after the NBA draft is all settled and done. When the dust settles and everything goes okay, once again, he could take a step back, breathe, and go ahead and come back on the show to talk about the Lakers offseason moves that he thinks that need to be made. But you can find him right now at Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. Also, as well, I want to go ahead and mention that I was a guest on the Domination Sports Nation podcast by good friends Chris and Dom Lardieri, who also do the Inside Sports Fantasy Football with me. They have their own great show. Please check out my latest appearance on that show today at the Domination Sports Nation, wherever you get your podcasts. I actually put a link in the description below, so go ahead and check it out today if you're on YouTube right there or wherever you get your podcasts. It was a great conversation where I talked about the Lakers, the NBA, so much more. Also as well, Golden Knights, and of course, the latest news in the golf world. So go ahead and check it out today, the Domination Sports Nation. And if you go, also go ahead and like and subscribe today, please go ahead and do so. Our good friend John McCalion on YouTube. And of course, hit the little Joe today on YouTube so you can get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break. It is Gerald Glassford, and of course, Mr. Joe Soro is also here today, but I wanted to go ahead and say after Game 3 of the NBA Finals, again, something in the news has overshadowed the actual series itself, which I think just states about the fact that because it does not feature two marquee teams as far as the LAs, the Bostons, New Yorks, but they could say the Miami Heat are a marquee team, but the Denver Nuggets being brand new to the final scene, garnering maybe enough reaction or enough importance that something is always overshadowing it. Like in this case today, earlier this afternoon, Chris Haynes from Bleacher Report and TNT reported that the Phoenix Suns are working on some final options with Chris Paul on how to, I guess, either extend him as far as his you know, maybe make things a little bit easier on them financially. And maybe one of those options that they're looking at strongly is waiving, because that's the first thing that was mentioned, was waiving him. There, and actually Shams Charania a little bit later on, of course, because he can't let Chris Haynes have all the fun. Shams Charania comes back with another side of the story that says actually Phoenix is going to sit down, and same thing with Woj. They stated that Phoenix Suns are going to be getting with Chris Paul on a very myriad of options, including possible waiving, stretching, just possible options, trade scenarios, which I don't think would happen because of just simply the fact that the contract, if he decide to extend it, would actually not be very fiscally financial viable for a individual of that age. So we look at that as far as Chris Paul, though. If he gets waived, if he becomes a free agent, where would he go? Of course, immediately the rumors head straight to LA and the Lakers, and yes, the Clippers too, but mainly the Lakers, because all you see is LeBron and Chris Paul's face pop up together. Here today to talk about a possibility of that happening. As a good man indeed, you got to go ahead and check out what he does today and every day at LakersBall.com and SimBlades.com. It is Joe Soro. And Joe Intel Wild says, I think CP3 would be perfect for the Lakers. Feed AD easy buckets and take the ball handling off of Braun. CP3 for the mid-level, please. I will say, as the devil's advocate for it, if you get him maybe for the mid-level, okay. But the problem is, the devil's advocate, the transition game does not help at all with Chris Paul in the lineup. I think he needs shooters around him in order to be effective at this age. Otherwise, you could be asking for a little bit too much at this stage of his career.
The only way this works is if Chris Paul signs a veteran minimum. There's been some talk that there's a trade that could happen, which I don't think anybody's going to trade for CP3. And for the Lakers, they can't risk signing him for anything other than the vet minimum so that they can get acquired talent with their exceptions during the free agent period. This plays into an interesting scenario. We have seen Chris Paul pretty much fizzle out almost every year the last few years due to some kind of injury or some kind of mental lapse. Mental lapse as in maybe burnout. I don't want to say he chokes. I know it. A lot of people have said that, but I just think the word choke gets thrown around a little too much, kind of like great and legend after one good game here or there from certain players, or one, even maybe one good season. But Chris Paul could be an asset for this team if Darvin Ham can use him as a cover for LeBron during the year and vice versa. Now, I joked on our email chat that if you gave Chris Paul 24 minutes a game and gave LeBron James 24 minutes a game, that would be a pretty darn good setup. You'd preserve them throughout the year, and then you could at least unleash LeBron during the playoffs.
Got to get more shooters around him.
Well, sure, of course, and that's why it's imperative that if you were to get him, it's got to be only the veteran minimum, because I'm expecting the Lakers to get a shooter, whether through the draft or whether through the exceptions that they will have available. And the other thing that's needed desperately, almost the same, is a center. The Lakers need at least one really good shooter this offseason and one really good center, someone decent. If you can get one veteran player that can also come in, which this is now materialized, you can go into next season, barring any crazy injuries, being able to be a championship contender.
Another interesting name on that would be that might solve at least a little bit of both problems, Kelly Olynyk. So if Utah does not pick up, this is similar, and I'll get back to Chris Paul here on exactly what his contract is, how much they would have to pick up, would they waive stretch, we'll get that in a sec. But the reason why I say a shooter and a center is because, you know, he stretches the floor. The thing is, though, will Utah pick up his entire $12 million salary, or will he just go ahead and pick, and for the non-guaranteed part of it, just go ahead and pick up only the $3 million that they have to and then send him on his way? That's something that may be of interest, although the $12 million might be of interest to them just as a trade, you know, kicker to send someone out as far as a piece, a tool, the $12 million salary. So we'll see what happens there. Plus, Utah is nowhere near the cap. So I think that they have a little bit of flexibility to do that, but it would be interesting, especially if Kelly Olynyk does become available, to do a couple of the things that you said just there. But when it gets to Chris Paul right now, again, they're discussing his options, whichever way you hear it. Chris Haynes outright said they're going to waive him. Then you had Shams and Woj saying, whoa, wait a minute. Phoenix is actually going to go ahead and they're talking to him about all the different options they have. It sounded like Chris Haynes was talking to the camp of Chris Paul, and it sounds like the other guys are talking to the camp of the Phoenix Suns. But right now, the Phoenix Suns have the option to partially guarantee the $30 million salary he is currently owed for next season. That would be $15 million in order to go ahead and just to partially guarantee and just say, we're going to send you on your way. There's also a $30 million non-guaranteed year after that. So if he were to get paid in full, it would be $60 million. But you and I both know, Joe, at this point in time, he's not going to collect that. So an option, and I was thinking about this 12 years after the famous trade that was vetoed by David Stern that you obviously have had issues with over the course of our time here talking on the show, that may finally come to fruition 12 years later.
Yeah, too little, too late. It cost Kobe the chance of getting a sixth ring and Chris Paul being a champion at this point in his career. Kobe Bryant and Chris Paul were deeply close, a lot closer than people thought they were. And the reason why they were is Chris Paul is one of those guys that criticized guys like Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan for being, let's say, not mentally there to try to win. And of course, being that Chris Paul hasn't won, it was always that resentment of, well, you haven't won jack squat. Why are we listening to you? And that's carried with him his entire career. It's unfortunate that it went that route. I know it's easy to dislike Chris Paul because he does come off kind of whiny. But if Chris Paul if that trade had gone through, it would be a completely different career. And I believe it would have been a career that had a couple of championships.
I agree.
Unfortunately, we're at this position now so many years later, looking at the way the team is constructed currently. Luckily, the Lakers do have youth on their team. The majority of the roster is young talent, including Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is only 30 years old. So the Lakers, as far as Kelly Olynyk, I would welcome him as a center. He would be great playing next to AD and being that guy that could back him up when AD sits. That's the kind of talent you want at that position. Brook Lopez is a free agent. I just don't think
they're gonna price him out.
I think he's gonna get priced out. Although if for some miracle we can get him for the MLE, that would be the biggest acquisition. My up to me.
Coming off that season, no,
absolutely. Yeah, I'm just saying if that were the case,
didn't he lead the league in blocks?
He was leading the Defensive Player of the Year for a while there.
Overall blocks. Blocks per game went to Jaren
Jackson. Yeah, I got to give it to Brooke. He started shooting well late in his career.
Yeah.
Started playing defense late in his career.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody expected this. It's very Jokic-like. No one expected a second-round pudgy guy to turn into what he's turned into.
And nobody remembers him posting up down low for all those years in New Jersey.
Sure. So with that, he was a 20-point scorer who didn't play defense. That was kind of his image.
And didn't rebound.
Didn't rebound, yeah. He would be the 20-point guy that would get, five rebounds a game, six rebounds a game?
Max.
But he was a leading defensive winner all year and Triple J kind of, separated from a little bit towards the end there and ended up winning it. That would be it. That would be the acquisition of the season. If the Lakers were able to somehow get lucky to get somebody like that, then you can start focusing on maybe getting a couple of the shooters and hopefully getting something in the draft that resembles someone who could play defense and shoot. But I don't think that's going to happen. Kelly Olynyk could be a possibility, but I don't think so either.
You never know, Joe, because the reason why I say we saw in tonight's game for game three of the NBA Finals, you saw someone picked in the 20s, Christian Brown, I should say. It's spelled like Braun. Christian Brown giving the team off the bench exactly what it needed to go ahead and get this team to victory in game three. So you never know what you can get as far as a contributor that late in the first round.
We are a couple of really good moves from helping LeBron and AD sustain themselves through the regular season. And that's really what this team needs. LeBron has one more year where he can probably be a LeBron a little bit, not what he was before, obviously, but just maybe what we had last year, but without him getting tired towards the end and maybe not having a torn tendon in his foot, which I'm still waiting on how that's going to get figured out. Was it a partial tear? Was it a complete tear? I don't think it was a complete tear, obviously. Will it heal between now and training camp? His age and his miles, unless he's doing some kind of performance-enhancing something, I don't see how that's going to get fixed without some form of surgery. At least I'm not a doctor, but I've been around sports enough to know that foot issues don't go away the later you get in your career, especially if you're going to play basketball again 4 or 5 months later. So that's something that I'm also paying attention to during the offseason, how that gets addressed. And then what's AD going to do about his foot issue? Is he one move away from ripping his plantar fascia or whatever they call it? I don't know.
In the chat, they're going the way of Mason Plumlee.
Mason Plumlee is better than what we have now.
And that's the problem.
So I don't think really there's any room to be picky here. Let's get somebody that can do something.
I guess you're right, Chad.
Yeah, Chad, you're right, because there's, and that might be the most realistic one. Naz Reid is not realistic, BZ. Sorry, I don't think he's going to cost too much money. Yeah. But Plumlee would be the guy that I think can work, because he does have some talent and we've seen him play. Matter of fact, he's had some
good passer.
Yeah,
he's
had some really good games against the Lakers. And for AD, AD needs to play power forward. I think we've gotten to that point now. He needs to be able to play power forward. If you want AD to be MVP AD, he has to stay at that position all year. He'll have less issues with physicality there, to where he can stay healthier and possibly be fresh towards the end of the year, just like LeBron would be, not guarding three people all year, you know, all over the place, and be more effective when it matters. I really believe that. I really believe that even though he's still somewhat in his prime and still young, if we can keep him fresh for the playoffs as well, it's only an added bonus that we can get the full capacity AD throughout the playoffs to make a run possibly for another title.
I still would take Zubats over Plumlee. That's personal choice. Intel, I understand that Tyronn Lue fell in love with Plumlee during stretches in the postseason, but I think Zubats still has a little bit more variation in his game and still could be a better fit. But then again, that's just crying over spilled milk, because at this point in time, Zubats is probably never coming back to the Lakers because of, you know, what's gone on as far as the trade and his way his contract's laid out. Plumlee, if you could pick him up for under $10 million, you know, pick him up for what, the mid-level, maybe?
If you get a good shooter in the draft, to get a shooter in the draft that can play some defense, if Max Christie is showing you something even before, where he might be someone that could be the guy that can take the next step and hit open shots, then you can risk throwing some higher money on a legitimate center, which is desperately needed for this team right now. They desperately need a legitimate center who is serviceable. We don't need a star, but a serviceable center would go a long way. The problem there, G, is he doesn't hit free throws. But luckily, he's not likely going to get getting the ball down in the post in crunch time. He's going to just do what he's good at doing, which is pass and hopefully play a little defense.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
If you have a better movie in the can, why is that not the movie that you released in the first place?
I would say it's more culturally relevant than The Simpsons and Rick and Morty. Like, it has become a staple of American entertainment.
I think Dragon Age 4 is carrying the future of BioWare on its shoulders.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro, a.k.a. Ox1947. Please support him today, of course, at LakersBall.com and his great company, Simblades, Simblades.com. Once again, I want to mention that I did a guest appearance on the Domination Sports Nation. Go ahead and give my friends a big shout out right there. Please go ahead and give it a listen. They work really hard on their podcast, and they had a great time with me. He's going over the various things in the news and the sports world regarding the NBA Finals, the Lakers, the Warriors, and some more NBA news, plus also everything going on with the NHL and the professional golf as well. So go ahead and give it a try. Domination Sports Nation. There you go, indeed. But my friend, let's get back to Chris Paul and CP3. Let's put on both sides of the equation. I wouldn't be dead set against getting Chris Paul like I was with Russell Westbrook. I'm just telling you, if you get CP3, you need shooters around him at this stage of his career. That you're also one of the big benefits of the Lakers was their transition game and the pace. You would not have the same anywhere near the same pace with Chris Paul, who could no longer push the ball up court at a high rate of speed. Those two things you would need, you know, or have to come to grips with if you decide, you know, you bring him in. But as a playmaker, like you said, LeBron's minutes would be reduced as per your request, as per something that I myself and basically all fans request, as far as having, LeBron plays less minutes because you do have someone that can make plays. He can still hit the mid-range jumper. He can still be effective with lobs with AD. Your thoughts on this, my friend? Again, there's a little bit of for and against why you would pick up Chris Paul, but it depends to me on the price tag. If the price tag is right, why not?
Yeah, the price tag at veteran minimum, and you have a veteran player who's seasoned and can bring some value. Whether he plays bad or not is irrelevant at that point. You risk it at the veteran minimum, and you know he gets along with both AD and especially LeBron. Yeah, I don't see any downside there. Even if he hits the wall 2 months in, it doesn't matter. So it's worth the risk. It's worth the risk to get somebody in there that could be a benefit down the road should he make it through. But the Lakers have to make sure that they get two things this offseason, and that is a shooter either through the draft or somewhere in the free agency, and you have to get a center as well.
I think multiple shooters, personally. I think two shooters would
I'm
be
hoping
it.
That Max Christie can be one of those guys. As far as getting multiple shooters with just the mid-level exception, just one.
I know that's hard.
You're not going to get anyone of substance. You're going to need someone to either come about, much like guys like Austin Reeves and Alex Caruso. And at the beginning, you had, second round pick that went to Utah.
Oh, you're talking about THT?
THT, yeah. So you're going to need something like that.
I thought you meant Jordan Clarkson.
That's no. Well, Jordan Clarkson would be a welcome. That would be a definite welcome as a six man for sure.
BZ808 is asking which shooters are you looking at specifically, if that's the case. I mentioned one with Kelly Olynyk because he fills a need in both areas.
That would be ideal. Yeah, that you would almost. Here's if I had to pick a realistic setup as of right now, getting Kelly at center. Does it solves the center position? It covers the backup to AD when he sits, and he can shoot, which means he can spread the floor out and allow LeBron and others to operate, especially Austin Reeves. If Austin has some room, he's also good at penetrating and getting the and ones. Absolutely, I'd say if the Lakers got Kelly Olynyk, you have a major win. Then you just got to hit on the draft. You hit on the draft and Max Christie improves because he's got the length and he's shown a little bit of defense. If he can start hitting shots, that's how you build a team, because then you're factoring in bringing back Reeves. You're bringing back Vando. You're probably bringing back D'Angelo Russell. So you do have a young core. You do have a good team there to work around with LeBron and AD. And maybe there's a buyout player down the road that could also add to the fold. And then you go after it after that. You go after the title then, or you continue to go after the title from there. It's going to be something we're going to have to kind of see how it plays out. I don't know. I don't feel like this free agency is going to garner a lot of high-end, high-priced players, but I've been wrong before on that.
I really think they're going to pick up Kelly Olynyk's contract. It is a $3 million buyout if they decide to go ahead and let him go. $12 million for the full contract for next year on the final year of his contract if you decide to keep him. And I think just for that number and what he brings to the table, I think borderline he would probably be picked up by Danny Ainge in Utah. They have enough room under the cap and flexibility to go ahead and do so. So I don't think we'll be that lucky and he'll be waived. So if the Lakers do want to trade for him, they're going to have to find a way to go ahead and get it at the $12 million mark to go ahead and get him. Maybe packaging him some sort of deal that you could package with Jordan Clarkson would be a really good deal that would take care of a lot of things for the Lakers right there. Grayson Allen, the most popular guy in Milwaukee. And I'm joking. And if you know the Milwaukee Bucks and the way they ended their season, you know why. Was a name that BZ808 said has a contract currently $8.5 million for the final year since contract. Your thoughts on him? He's not exactly the cleanest player in the world. He's actually one of the dirtiest, to be quite honest with you, but he can hit the three. As long as you're not relying on him for a last second shot, you never know.
He's probably going to get more than the MLE, I'm assuming, no?
Well, no, he's still on a contract.
I didn't hear anything about Grayson Allen. I don't think that's even an option.
As a rotation guy off the bench, yeah.
I think there are better options. I know Bruce Brown is going to be a free agent. He might be an option. DiVincenzo is going to be a free agent. He could be an option. I mean, Joe Ingles is a free agent this year, but I don't know if he's going to be within our price tag. So there are some guys out there. You're going to have to wait for the money to basically run out to see who's available and which one you'd want to go with. It's hard to predict that. It's really hard to predict that. We're going to have to hope. We're going to have to hope that somebody doesn't pick up those guys. But usually guys that are dead-eye shooters are not going to be left behind.
Grayson Allen, again, you can't play him on the defensive end because you saw in the playoffs they were hunting him down on every play, which was part of the reason why Milwaukee, you know, they were forced to play due to injuries and just their rotation and their lack of depth with guys that were able and capable. They were forced to play Allen a predominant amount of minutes, and unfortunately bit them in the end because he wasn't able to consistently hit a shot as well as he did in the regular season. And his defense was, unfortunately, as we've seen with D'Angelo Russell, not quite up to what you need to do. So, you're saying Intel Wild, you need a guy like Allen. I think he'd be a nice rotation player coming off the bench. But if you ask him to do anything more, I think you're asking for trouble. BZ808 says Brown is going to command a lot. I know absolutely. Just based off his very nature is, you know, that he was coming off so arrogant to all these other teams that he's playing against, including the Lakers, that, you know, coming off what after tonight looks to be maybe an NBA Finals run with the championship, he's going to be looking for a nice payday, and I don't think the Lakers will be able to go ahead and fit that price tag as well. I'd say he's trying to go ahead and push towards $20 million on up for himself as well.
Bruce Brown?
I think he's going to try. I didn't say he's going to get it. I just said 15 to 20.
You can try all you want. He's not getting $20 million. Hell no. I wouldn't mind having Josh Hart back. He's not a dead-eye shooter, but played 76 games this year and hit 37% from three, and is a good team guy and has been here before. I wouldn't mind seeing if that could be an option with an MLB.
The Knicks love him, though. Absolutely.
I know they love him. What's not to love? He's a really good player. He's a winner, won title in Villanova, and overall good guy and can play. I think that's the kind of player you want. You want someone who's going to kind of inspire without having to have the main guys inspire. I think those kind of guys are invaluable to a title team. It's going to be fun. I will say this. I believe the Lakers are going to put this together. I have very, very high confidence in that they will. The draft is honestly probably the most exciting part of this is because it's in their control. Who are they going to end up getting at 17 that could be a difference maker? Because the Lakers, if they hit on that draft pick. Now, imagine this. Imagine if they had drafted an Austin Reeves or an Alex Caruso at 17. It would be a huge win, right? But they got those guys off the scrap heap. So imagine if you can get 17 and have it be a player that is borderline all-star, something like that.
That's a tough ask.
It would be in any era except now. Did anyone believe? We know Rob didn't. You know, Gerald, you've mentioned his contract acumen, always giving two-year contracts and having to get into this situation.
No foresight, right? Man. It's called foresight.
Right. So the foresight needs to change now, right? It needs to change. You guys keep developing these freaking studs who you're not even drafting. You're not even drafting these guys. And now Austin Reeves is he going to get $25 million? Like, that's the question now. It's no doubt he's getting 20.
Look at that. He comes in from an undrafted player. He goes now. He's playing in Team USA this summer. And he's dating
Taylor Swift. This guy's living the life.
Swifty.
Although, you know, there's been too much activity with Taylor. I think I that kind of would weird me out. But anyways, that's a different subject for a different time. But the key here is we're talking about the 17th pick in the draft. You're talking about picking the 17th best player available, BPA. And in the NBA, you do that more than any other draft, typically. You have to pick best player available in the NBA draft. There's only two rounds. Can't really go by need a lot of times because the talent outweighs the position. If anybody taught the world that, all you got to do is look at the 84 draft. Don't ever go with, oh, I need this position because I already have this, because Portland could be sitting with six titles now instead of zero. Or I'm sorry. They did win one in 77. I'm talking about after 84. And we're in a position now. This is the highest draft pick we've had since, was it Brandon Ingram, number two?
I'd have to check. I'd have to check to see if there's not someone later than that.
Or was it Lonzo at two? It might have been Lonzo. Sorry.
I think it was Lonzo.
Lonzo at two in 2017.
Yeah, because he's younger than Brandon.
Yes. Yeah. So 2017, we drafted Lonzo Ball at number two. That's the last time we've had a pick like this in the first round, at least the high pick in the first round. If we hit on this, Gerald, and he's effective right away, do you feel that Austin was valuable his rookie year?
He had promise.
He had promise, right? He showed some promise.
That's why when he got off to that first, you know, I was very hesitant to get on board fully with him because, you know, with those undrafted players, you never know what you're going to get. And early in the first part of the season, you knew he was struggling. He even was sitting down for he was not in the rotation at certain points at the beginning of the season. So I was worried about him being relied upon and not being able to fit the mold of a rotation player in the league. And obviously, we've seen that he's grown by leaps and bounds since the beginning of this year and this calendar year. And he's done more than that. Obviously, he's playing at an unreal level. And I'm really happy for him and his success. I know that, but your intel, your he's going to be overpriced. It's what Joe's talked about. Houston or San Antonio could offer him $100 million, and that could be more than what the Lakers are allowed to ask for him. They can throw an exception at him, but they're only allowed to go ahead to a certain point salary-wise. Houston and San Antonio could offer more than what the Lakers can go ahead and afford to pay.
Well, I want to get at what Howard said about Alex and Austin being exceptions. In the NBA, having one undrafted player that is a first-team All-NBA and then a non-drafted player that is garnering at least $20 million per in his next contract, I don't know if those are exceptions anymore. One would have been an exception, but this is the second time. This is the second time they've done this with an undrafted player. And the Miami Heat have been very good at picking talent that no one sees, because who's in charge there? Pat Riley. Pat Riley comes from Laker blood. The Lakers, we've said this a few times, the Lakers, as bad as they were for almost a decade, still were able to get talent, whether they were drafting them or whether they were picking them up off the waivers. They have not really failed in that arena at all. And the NBA is getting to the point where you are able to get talent that isn't seen as talented players. It's just it's a new era. They are doing it. And I think the 17th pick has massive value if you get the right person. Massive value at this point in the NBA. You have two guys who have won an NBA championship and a finals MVP in the last 4 years. I should say the last 5 years if you count this season. In the last five seasons, you've had two players that were the best player on a title team, which was Kawhi Leonard in 19 and Giannis in 2021, whom were both 15th overall picks. So it's recent history. You don't need a top three player anymore to have a star. And look at what's happening tonight. Jokic had a 30-20-10 game tonight. You will never see that again in the finals, except maybe Jokic. And he's a second-round pick. He's a second-round pick. A pudgy Serbian guy who looks nothing athletic is running game on the entire league at the highest place you can do it, the NBA Finals. So now what? Why wouldn't I be excited about the Lakers having a 17th pick, being that they've been developing non-drafted players as well as they have, and drafting players? Granted, they're not megastars, but Brandon Ingram is an all-star. D'Angelo Russell was an all-star. Julius Randle was an all-star. Jordan Clarkson, six man. They've been drafting and they've been picking up guys and they've been creating these players. Josh Hart, Nance, all productive players. So why wouldn't I be enthusiastic about the possibility of the Lakers possibly picking up a borderline all-star at 17? I'm just throwing that out there. A borderline. I'm not saying he is, but there's a chance with their development and the way the NBA is going right now with the talent being able to be picked up later in the rounds.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sorrell from LakersBall.com and also Simblades with a Y.com, along with me, Gerald Glassford from the Lakers Fast Break. Truly thank you for watching and listening. I wanted to mention Howard Hill real quickly. He says the 17th pick is extremely valuable these days. I agree. And with the Lakers' history of, you know, drafting good rotational players, players that make contributions either on this team or another team, I think that's something that you could take a look at and be confident that the Lakers can make someone, you know, at 17 that actually can make a contribution, or they could package it, which is something that has also been talking about as well. We'll talk about that here in a second. But Jamal, new viewer, thank you so much for watching this thing. You said some nice things about us in the comments, and we truly appreciate it. Thank you as well, again, for checking us out here at the Lakers Fast Break. He says, hey, what do you guys think about a hypothetical trade for the second pick with the Hornets to get Scoot Henderson? I see stardom in that guy. You're not the only one, my friend. I actually got a chance to watch him in Henderson face off against Victor Wembanyama in the person. I felt privileged to do so. I thought it was an awesome experience. Scoot Henderson showed me that day the drive, the initiative, the determination, the it factor. I think that if he stays healthy and get some semblance of a consistent outside shot beyond the mid-range, because I thought he was pretty good in the mid-range, and also his drives, very athletic, and also in the second half when the French team focused in on the defensive end around him, he became a good distributor as well. So I see stardom in that kid as well. I think he should be the number two pick in the draft. Anybody who's talking about anyone else at that pick outside of Scoot Henderson, I think is mistaken, and that's just my opinion. But after seeing quite a bit of footage, I agree with you. I just don't think the Lakers, if you're not trading AD to Charlotte, has anything that the Hornets would want for that pick.
Wait, what happened now?
For what? He's asking for a hypothetical pick between Charlotte with the Lakers.
Charlotte. No one's trading the second and third pick in this year's draft. You're getting three guys in the first three picks that are likely going to be stars. And then after that, it's a crapshoot.
I just think it would be outside of trading AD, but I don't think Charlotte, even if they get AD, they would not be ready to win.
Let me put this in perspective. If the Oklahoma City Thunder called San Antonio and said, we're going to give you 10 first-round picks, which they have, and Chet Holmgren, San Antonio still would not take that package for Wembanyama.
Yeah, I think you cannot pass up.
It's impossible. This is not the Dallas Cowboys trading Herschel Walker to the Vikings. This is a completely different sport.
I think Brandon Miller is going to be good, Joe, but Scoot Henderson, BZ, I think the Hornets would be making a Mitch Kupchak-sized mistake if they pass on Scoot Henderson. I understand Ball's there, but missing out on Scoot Henderson.
Ball is, if you got Scoot and his potential, you don't worry about Ball. You let that kind of play out as it needs to play out, and then if you have to trade him for something, you trade him. You trade Ball, because I believe Scoot will be a star as well. Scoot is very similar to a John Morant without the six shooter.
Yeah. Brandon Miller is going to be a solid player in the league. I don't know if he has that it factor stardom. I've seen him play quite a bit at Alabama. Regardless of all the other stuff, the baggage he brings in, the part that he played in that criminal investigation, he was cleared of it. Regardless of that stuff, I just don't think he has that je ne sais quoi to get him over the top. But then again, we're all speculating. We were wrong all the time, and we're right some of the time as well when it comes to these draft picks. It's just like a shot in the dark sometimes. But I will say, though, that when it comes to the Lakers, there's a possibility they could try to move up, but I don't know exactly how much of the assets they have that could actually get anybody to say or buy in on saying, okay, I want to move up into 15, 14, 13, Because that's realistically, if the Lakers were to make a trade on draft night to move up, that's probably as far up as they could go. They're not moving up into the top 10.
No. And you don't need to bother yourself with that. This is just roll with what you can control. Stop worrying about jumping the shark or whatever the analogy you want to use or phrase. Enough. Enough of all that crap, guys. You set the team back 18 months by taking a long shot.
Yeah.
And whether we agreed with it or not, it was a bad deal. And it made everyone miserable and it made the Lakers lose. No more, guys. No more. You have one more year. Really one more year with LeBron. One more. And you have to make that year count by making sure he is preserved until the playoffs.
So well, you're also not counting in AD, which Jamal said very astutely in the comments. I mean, you know, AD, I don't want to go into an AD extension because that comes up in August. And I know that's been the source of conversation this week as well. I don't want to touch on that. That's something we can touch on for another show because that's content for this summer to talk about. Because I know that you and I have had long conversations on AD and we will do so again. But it's not just the window for LeBron that we're talking about, but AD as well.
I'm not worried about AD. I know that sounds weird, but I'm not. He's still young, and he's still capable of being the best defensive player in every game that they play in. But you have to look at this with some common sense. He hasn't been able to focus on his own thing. He's doing too much. Whether it's on offense, whether he's on defense, or when he's on the bench, he can't relax. Okay? He cannot relax. And when I used to see it with Shaq couldn't relax. He couldn't relax, especially in that 2000 season. And the reason why it worked was he was in shape. He was motivated. It was his only MVP season. We were able to get around it, but it was a struggle. It was a struggle. We had to go 5 against Sacramento. We had to go 7 against Portland. We went 6 against Indiana. It was a rough end, but they made it. And then notice when they got Horace Grant, the following year, which was the last year Horace Grant was effective, it changed everything. It gave him that power forward that kind of backed them up a little bit, and they went on a run. And then we kind of went back to like 2000 in 2002. I'm sorry, 2002, and we barely made it out of that. And then finally ran out of gas in 2003 because his foot he had to go get surgery on his toe, and you know how all that played out. Yeah. So we need AD. If we want to make AD, and there's so much going on with this Westbrook thing and all the chemistry and all that. So now we've got a fresh slate. Now we're going to go into this season. AD showed guts. AD showed that he could play with pain. AD showed me a lot this year in terms of his mental and his fortitude. So now we need to help AD be the best player possible. The best player possible. So get this guy a center that can at least spell him when he sits, and please devise an offense and have enough talent to allow him to play his natural position and let him do his thing. And let him do his thing so that he can be fresh for the playoffs. If he's fresh for the playoffs and he's playing and there's continuity in the lineups like it was in 2020 with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard come off the bench, look what you had.
Oh, don't keep saying that because Luka get on your case because he was last week on our case on that. So well, Luka, talking about the terrible job that Frank Vogel did, never seen a worse job in a long time.
Luka, God bless him. Yeah, Luka, God bless him or her. I don't know which one it is, but Luka tends to talk a little too emotionally. And sometimes we got to talk him down a little bit on his emotions because we're not stupid. We watch these games. Vogel gets he got a lot of flack that he didn't deserve. And he was a big part on why the Lakers won the title in 2020, whether you want to believe it or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, company guy, I know that kind of was what bothered me. I think he said the right things all the time. It bothered me, but because I like somebody that's a little bit more, you know, upfront. But then you see a Mike Malone, sorry, Michael, and then that looks obnoxious. So either you're doing one or the other, and they're both irritating. I like a little balance sometimes, but it doesn't matter.
With Vogel, he didn't even get to choose his staff. Same thing with Phoenix. He comes into Phoenix with a 5-year contract. They're already keeping Kevin Young. They already signed him to the richest assistant coach contract in the NBA so that they could keep him. You know, Vogel doesn't even get to pick his staff, seemingly.
Yeah, anyone who hires a coach that doesn't allow the coach to hire his own sidearms is kind of weird. It's just a disrespect beyond disrespect.
And he still won a championship.
Well, because he's a great defensive coach. And he had the best defensive player in the league. I'm sorry, Giannis. That break during COVID, I don't know if people got amnesia during that break, but AD was absolutely robbed of that Defensive Player of the Year award. Absolutely robbed in 2020. AD was the best defensive player on that roster in the league in 2020. And Frank Vogel is a defensive coach that's really good at teaching that position or that area. And he won a title because of it. And all you got to do is watch game 6. We've said it before. Watch game 6 of the
defensive
NBA Finals.
Transition. That's all it was.
Freaking believable. Best defense I've ever seen. I'm not the only one that said it. There were guys on TV that I actually have some respect for that actually mentioned that. I think it was Tim Legler. Yeah. How amazing that defense was in that last game, because it looked like Miami was spent after game 5.
The three-point shooting went up and down for the Lakers, yeah. And seriously up and down. But the things that were there each and every time
and
the
Frank,
Lakers
Frank
won,
Vogel, Frank
defense
Vogel,
and transition.
Frank Vogel took an Indiana team with a 22-year-old Paul George and a freaking Roy Hibbert. Granted, he was a second in the – look, he made Roy Hibbert a runner-up for the Defensive Player of the Year award. Roy Hibbert and Paul George – Took Miami in LeBron's prime to 7, and probably should have won that series if Paul George could hit some free throws. We all do it, but I'm trying to better myself. I try to better myself every day. Every day in my life, I try to better myself. And in this situation, now that we're somewhat public people talking about the Lakers, I think we need to also understand that we need to get better as analysts and speakers of this particular subject, because what's the point? Get better. Do better. What did LeBron say when he was asked stupid questions at a press conference? Do better. He got up, picked up his purse, and walked out, right? You've seen that meme before, haven't you? Yeah. It's time we start doing better. We had a catastrophe that we were able to finally get out of. Now they've been doing everything right. Now it's time for us to support the fact that they're doing everything right and support the fact that they have control over everything they need to get right now, because they really don't have any bad things going on. D'Angelo had a terrible series, in Denver, but so is a lot of players in Miami too. Maybe it's Denver. Maybe it wasn't D'Angelo. D'Angelo got exploited where he is terrible at. So being surprised that he couldn't guard anybody, if you're surprised at that, then you're not watching
basketball.
Right.
There's a reason why he was traded and has been traded so many times.
So now it's Darvin Ham and the Lakers' part, now that they're going to have an offseason and a training camp, to at least devise a system or some kind of offense that says, look, D'Angelo, we know you're not going to be a strong defensive presence, but we need to make sure we can exploit them with your offensive skill set, which is really where the problem was in that series. If D'Angelo scores 15 to 20 points, at least in half of those games, Lakers are going 2-2 the first 4 games.
So I ask you this, my friend. We're going to circle it back before we touch on the NBA Finals and before we head on out. And once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. Truly appreciate everybody watching and listening. Thanks so much for joining us again. If you have not subscribed already, please go ahead and hit the little Joe Soro with the big eyes right there for you, right there below on the right-hand corner of your screen, right there for you so you can get the latest notifications on when we go live with our next Lakers Fast Break. Going to go ahead and try and see if we can get a at least one or two more episodes before the week is up. But before we head on out, my friend, I want to go ahead and ask you and circle this back around to CP3. Again, if you pick up CP3 for the right price, I'm not going to argue with that, but you have to make changes. No longer will the Lakers be in the top five in pace. You have to build shooters around him that shoot and make consistently. They cannot be in the lower third of the three-point accuracy and three-point makes, three-point shooting. They cannot be in that with Chris Paul around. There has to be some concessions made in order to maximize Chris Paul at this point in time. But again, at the right contract, at the right price, he could be very beneficial to us in the regular season.
Veteran minimum, 15 to 20 minutes a game. I think that's a huge win for the Lakers. Huge win. If you can play him 24 minutes and you play LeBron 24 minutes, huge win. I mean huge. You learned something about the current NBA culture this last year. You went in as a 7 seed, barely getting in because you were a play-in. So now, if you know that you can turn it on in the playoffs, well, manage the game during the year. Make sure LeBron is playing no more than 29 minutes a game at the most. And use Chris Paul as that guy that can cover the other minutes. And then you'll have D'Angelo and you'll have Austin Reeves that can take ball handling duties. You'll have enough. You will have enough to manage throughout the season. If you put AD in the right spot all year, you have some continuity with the lineups. Then you're setting up the team to be very, very successful.
Because that's another big thing, because people forget I think either led the league or were in the top three by the end of the year in most lineup changes, starting lineup changes.
It's a testament to how good LeBron and AD were in the team in general. The fact that they dealt with such lack of continuity, lack of consistency. They played with essentially two different teams last year, and they still made it to the Western Conference Finals. There is something there. Usually it's not when you're a Laker fan, and of course it's still a failure because it's LeBron and AD. LeBron and AD have to win a title every chance they get. If they don't, it's not a successful season. However, if you can put together the right ingredients here in the next few weeks and month, once free agency starts in July, then you give yourself at least one more shot at allowing the Lakers to the LeBron AD era to win possibly one more title. If this team constructed as those two stars wins one more title, you're talking about a immensely successful union. Multiple titles for LeBron AD era. They set themselves as they're already great players, but they set themselves as great tandem for the greatest basketball team on the planet. That's a hell of a title to have.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron might solidify a statue if he does that. Just saying, it could be.
Could be indeed. But again, and
more important than any of that is, guys, 18, right? That's what this is about. 18. Imagine LeBron comparisons to all the all-time greats and all that stuff going on. One thing, there's a few things here that LeBron can add to his status. He's won three NBA titles with three different teams. He's won four total, but he's won three with different teams, right? Won finals MVP in three different teams as well. That means he was the best player on those teams. It's not like he was just like John Sally, where he played for the Pistons, Bulls, and Lakers, right? Yeah. This is a guy that was the best player in those title runs. Now, imagine if LeBron wins next year or the following year. And he's the guy that took the greatest franchise in NBA history to the top status in titles. That's scoring title, all-time scoring title, three-time champion for three different teams, and then you help the Lakers achieve the top spot in titles all time. Come on. You can't even play with that. Like, you can't argue what that is. It's all time of the all time of the all time status. And I'm hoping that it works out. I really do. Not only obviously for LeBron, but for the Lakers and us. And it'd be fun this time next year talking about how the Lakers are about to hang up number 18 and pass those green turds.
And that ultimately is the goal for us. Absolutely. 18 indeed. But keep following us here all summer long here at the Lakers Fast Break. But before we head on out, my friend, it is the NBA Finals. And tonight we did see the Nuggets regain home court advantage with a performance. Basically, they ran out and hid away from the Miami Heat. They went and put in a cruise control, won by 15. Just another dominating video game-like performance from Nikola Jokic. But the key to me, again, is Jamal Murray. If Jamal Murray is hitting along with Jokic, that's the thing the Lakers could not ultimately stop, was both of them together. And this is something I talked about even before we got to the Denver series, which was why I was extremely concerned out of our panel, the most concerned openly on the panel in regards to Denver's because of Jamal Murray and what I thought he would be doing and how well he could play. And we're seeing that now, my friend. When he's on, they're just really hard to stop.
You know, I thought the two-day break, I know it's because they had to travel, but I thought the two-day break was a detriment to the Miami Heat. And I'll tell you why. Every single schmucky talker out there was just showering themselves about how amazing Miami was in game two. And I'm sitting there going, you guys are just setting this up to just blow up in your face. And everything in my body told me that Denver was going to blow them out today. Everything. I'm like, dude, they're just – all Denver was reading for 2 days was Miami has their number. Miami's got them. They came back from eight, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, man, Denver's going to come out game three, and they're going to shellac them. And they did. Denver, if they come out guns a-blazing, I know that they've kind of had a habit of blowing big leads, but if they come out guns a-blazing again in game four, this is going to be a short series like we predicted for sure.
Yeah, we could see that. And I mean, when you've got a player like a rookie like Chris Brown, spelled like Braun, coming off the bench, contributing like he did today, that's just, you know, that's Austin Reeves, like, my friend. That's just something unexpected. Now, he was a first round draft pick out of Kansas early 20s, you know, like Walker Kessler. You can find those contributors in the draft. So the Lakers at 17 have a chance to get someone who can make a contributing factor, can be a good rotation player, can make a solid contribution right away on a winning team.
Yeah, we can get that at 17 if we hit on it. And it could mean wonders for this team if you do.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to worry about paying that guy a certain amount of money in free agency. And it is a young player on top of that. You hit on 17 and you hit a really good player with the mid-level exception and get a veteran minimum player like a Chris Paul, you absolutely go into next season fully equipped to make a run. Only a major injury could set you back. That's it, which is, you can say that about any team.
Yeah.
That's it. That's as simple as it gets, guys. And the exciting part about it is it's under our control. We no longer have to worry about no one's going to trade for this guy that we have because of his contract. We don't have any of that worry this offseason.
Just the picks.
Yeah. And by signing, let's say, D'Angelo at a it's going to definitely be at a lower price than it was before we saw him in the Denver series.
And that's the only good thing coming out of his poor performance.
Exactly. It might be a blessing in disguise down the road, right? It might be. Although I think if the Lakers had beaten Denver, they would have beaten Miami in the finals. So not really. But the reality is they might be getting – they're likely to get him at a lower number at this point. And that's a benefit for them to – hopefully continue to sign guys that they want that are still in-house that could contribute next year, i.e. Rui. And, of course, that'll depend on how the contract with Austin Reaves goes on. If Austin gets, let's say, $18 million, let's just use that as a number, $18 million for 4 years, let's say 20, okay, let's say 20, so it's an even number. Let's say he gets 20, let's say he goes, you know what, Lakers, forget about everybody. I'm just going to take a four-year, $20 million a year contract. Boom. Okay, good. And then you get D'Angelo at $20 million for 4 years. Now Rui gets a little – you got a little bit of hope of getting Rui back in. But it's got to be like at a 12 number. Can be at like 15 or 16. If you do that and you hit on 17 and you're able to get a backup center for the MLE and sign a good veteran player for the vet minimum like a Chris Paul – I don't know how you could have a better offseason.
Howard Hill, I'll throw one last question in there before we head on out. Should we trade Beasley and Mo? The thing is, we actually have to pick up their contracts. Beasley's at 16 and change, and Mo's at 10 and change. You have to pick up those contracts in order to go ahead and then trade them. Would you pick up their contracts? That's $26 million going somewhere else. The question is, though, who wants them?
No one. That'll have to. They'd have to attach. So let's say for discussion purposes, the Lakers, the San Antonio or Houston, drops 25 per for the next 4 years for Reaves, and the Lakers decide not to match. Rui ends up getting $20 million for 2 years somewhere. Lakers don't sign, right? Let's just say that happens. I think because Vando's coming back, and I think D'Angelo's coming back.
Oh, yeah. $4 million for Vando? That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, so those guys are coming back. I think D'Angelo and Vando are coming back. Now you have $26 million that you're going to have to sign to keep just in case. Because if you sign D'Angelo at $20 million per, and then you have Bamba at 10, and then you have Beasley at 16, now you have $46 million that you could trade if need be before the trade deadline next year to get someone else. A lot of this is contract hoarding, so you can actually have a chance at doing something later should someone demand a trade like Kevin Garnett or whoever. Not Kevin Garnett, but someone like Kevin Garnett in terms of a player that's very, very good or great. And is then you just want to get rid of him, right? Like, just like Brooklyn's like, we're tired of this guy. We'll trade him anywhere. But even then, like, who's going to want Beasley, Bamba, and D'Angelo? You're going to have to figure out a way to give them some kind of a valuable draft pick, which they're not going to have.
That 29 first is the only one thing that Lakers left it. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. If you package a deal for Lillard,
but yeah, that's 45. You're talking 45 starting point. You have to go ahead $45 million for Lillard to get him.
I mean, you have three guys that are making 46, so the contracts match. That would be the only thing they would. But Portland would have to agree to that, which they won't.
Would you if you're Portland?
No.
Not with all the marijuana smoking in the world. Let me just say this. If my room is filled up with marijuana right now, smoke, and I was high as a kite, I would still not want that trade.
Here's the only way it happens. Are you ready?
Yes.
Damian Lillard goes up to ownership and says, guys, I've been loyal to you. I tried to win a championship here. We're 20 and 38 right now before the trade deadline. I really want you to trade me to the Lakers as we appreciated what you've done for us. And then ownership would go, okay, we want to accommodate Damian because he did a lot for us. He stayed loyal as much as he could. Damon would have to go. I want to go to LA. I want to go to the Lakers. Please make it happen. Now, what do you ask for, right? What do you ask for? Now, here's the likely scenario before that. We talked about this Beasley, Bamba, and D'Angelo thing. Look, the Lakers, there's almost concrete evidence that they're not going to let him go. So Austin's coming back. Vando is coming back. And I'm pretty sure D'Angelo's coming back. So with that, should Damian Lillard go to Portland ownership a week before the trade deadline and says, I want to go to the Lakers? The Lakers are going to have to trade Austin, D'Angelo, and maybe a pick in 29 for Damian Lillard.
At the very least.
At the very least. Do you make that trade? Yes, you make that trade. Because Damian Lillard is a different ball game. And if you have Damian Lillard in the Denver series, even if it's just no depth or whatever, doesn't matter. We are going to the finals.
Well, there you're trading. You know, the fact is you realize there you can't guard Murray. So what you do is you try to outshoot Murray. You try to outscore Murray.
Yeah. That's the only Murray has to. Murray has to exhaust himself guarding Lillard. Now his effectiveness on the offensive end takes a hit as well. If you paid attention to some of the, George Karl got a lot of flack in 96 for not putting GP on Jordan earlier. I don't know if it would have made a difference, but the point is he didn't have Gary Payton, the defensive player of the year at that year, on Jordan from game one. Why? Because he needed him to score, right? That was his philosophy. That was his thought process. Well, they went down 3-0, and Gary Payton basically told George Karl to eat it. I'm going to guard Jordan. And Jordan had two of his worst, if not the worst, performances on offense in game four and game five in his NBA finals career. Because it's a high-pressure situation, and it's hard to play both. So sometimes you need to kind of sacrifice one to do the other one well. In that situation, Jamal Murray isn't hitting those shots late in the game because he's tired of guarding Dame Lillard. And Dame Lillard is a problem because he can shoot from anywhere. It's him and Steph Curry can shoot from anywhere. It's frustrating. It's exhausting guarding those guys. So, yes, if it wasn't for the Lakers, I would never even bring this up. It's not going to likely happen, but it's possible. It's very possible. Sheerly from the fact that Damian Lillard has been so good for Portland, so respectful, that how would they not be able to accommodate him if he requested that trade? I don't see it. I see them helping him out. As much as they would hate to trade him to LA, at least they get Austin Reeves in return. At least they'll get a valuable pick in return. And for Dame Lillard, he gets a chance to continue to play with AD even when LeBron retires in 2 years. So there's a benefit there. That $60 million contract isn't as bad if LeBron's off the books.
We'll see, my friend.
It's pretty crazy because I just read a quote yesterday with Dame Lillard, and he is starting to hint. He is starting to hint, guys.
His excerpt interview was very telling.
Yes, he is starting. So this is why I'm excited. This is why it's exciting to be a Laker fan, because that kind of stuff happens for the Lakers. Because it's happened. I mean, we got LeBron James, guys. He came to LA. And they were a absolute disaster before. That golden armor never goes away, guys. We're royalty. Regardless of how bad the current monarchy is, whatever you want to call it. We're the LA Lakers, man. We're not, even when we're down, we're still up.
Jamal thinks we need to bring back Mo and Beasley to leverage our cap space. The thing is, though, with the Lakers being a tax team,
you can't. You can't.
We can't sign everybody. We can't. Yeah, we can sign everybody. Jeannie Buss will probably say no to at some point in time to say as far as, you know, being able to sign everybody. That makes sense. I think Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka will limit the number of individuals that they return to Lakers.
Yeah, I don't. It's just common sense, guys. Their priority right now is Austin Reeves. They're gonna sign Vando. Vando and Reeves are coming back. I have not been given any indication that's gonna change. The only thing that we're waiting on is how much is D'Angelo going to take? Because if somebody comes and offers D'Angelo 30 mil, he's gone.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it makes it easier to sign Rui. I'm okay with however that plays out as long as we got Vando and Austin back. Rui will sting not having him back, but that's how this plays out sometimes. You know, it's just what it is, guys. You can't sign everyone. And if he gets too much money, you can't. There's only so much playing time you can give someone, especially if you draft someone that's really good at 17. This is not enough time, guys. A rotation in the playoffs usually is 7 or 8 people. So, and then if you want a center and you want a veteran player that you're adding to that team to be valuable parts in winning a championship, you just added 2 more positions that need to be playing. So it's going to be an interesting one, but we'll I think one way or the other, I think we'll be okay getting out of free agency with at least guys that we're going to be happy with.
And we haven't even touched on Dennis Schroeder, very much so far as at this point. And we don't know what his market value is per se. He did have a promising season, you know, coming back from being off the scrap heap, doing well overseas, then coming back and playing, and giving the Lakers at times a lot of what they need. There was times that it was frustrating to go ahead and watch, but you know what? He played hard, played solid defense for us, and, you know, in and out of the scoring, inconsistent at times on that end. But tell you what, it was great having Dennis back, especially for what we paid for him. He's not going to go for that same price again, so we'll see whether or not we keep him. But then again, a Chris Paul, becomes available and the Lakers are interested in him, that probably means Dennis would be going.
Oh, 100%. If they get Chris Paul, Dennis is gone. And maybe they know that Dennis is gone anyway, so that's going to be the path anyways. It's fortunately, Dennis or Chris Paul, whichever one they end up with, they'll play integral parts in winning a title or trying to win a title. Ultimately, the Lakers need to fill the 2 major gaps that they were in desperately in need of during this last season. And that was getting someone who can consistently shoot, which it seems to be like every year. And then, of course, a legitimate center. A legit center. We can get those 2 at least. We'll be fine. And we could have one of those already on the roster. If Max Christie ascends to a productive role next year, he could be at least 1/2 of what we need. Maybe we get another guy similar to how we had Caruso and KCP. If one wasn't hitting, the other one was. Both played really good defense no matter what, right? Like, that's really what the Lakers need. They need 2 players that can – one can shoot one game well. We don't need the other guy to shoot as well. But both played good defense throughout the year. We can get that this offseason, and it could be Max Christie. Could be. And then if you can get another one in the draft, who knows? We'll have to, that could be what puts us over. And then health. Health is going to be important because we need LeBron to stay healthy so that he's fresh at the end of the year, and same with AD. So that's why having some depth here and having some players that can contribute game in and game out, that'll allow the Lakers to go into the playoffs with some momentum, real momentum from a full season of continuity.
Dennis or CP3? That would be the question, Jamal. He's conflicted, but leaning CP3 for production and playmaking.
That's a good question. I'm 50-50 at this point.
I am as well, because whatever you get with CP3 on that end, you lose as far as defense. Both guys are not great on the transition game, so there you have it there. But Dennis is younger, a little bit better defensively, but again, it's 50-50 for both. But again, CP3 could change the dynamic for the Lakers in a much more positive way. And then we could see it implode, like, you know, we saw with Russell Westbrook. So you never know. I mean, a player of his age, he gets injured a lot and is out quite a bit. So we'll see what happens, my friend. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. We'll continue to provide consistent programming for you every week. Just stay with us. Appreciate everybody watching, listening once again. Go ahead and make sure you check out, again, my friends at the Domination Sports Nation. I am their latest guest this week, so go ahead and check out my thoughts on a lot of subjects around the sports world. The Domination Sports Nation, it's a great show, and I actually put it in the description of the YouTube, and also the audio podcasts are out there. You'll see it right there for you in the description, so go ahead and check it out. But I appreciate everybody watching and listening. Any last thoughts, my friend, before we head on out?
Well, we're a couple weeks away from the draft. I think we're going to continue to analyze this, and we'll probably start getting a little bit in depth with what could kind of come about on draft day. And I'm looking forward to it. And I am also looking forward to getting into this new CBA situation. You had emailed everyone the Larry Kuhn details on things. I got that while I was driving. So as soon as I saw the details on it, I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to go read this, because I haven't had a chance to really dive into the NBA, the new NBA setup.
Yeah, I sent you his latest episode that he was on.
It's a lot of information, but we're going to do our best to study it, learn it, and convey it here on the show so that you guys can get some productive, realistic, common sense ideas of what's possible for the current CBA, for the Lakers, for whatever. Because I'm tired of listening to buffoons who have no idea how things work yap about stupid garbage.
I will say this, though, before we leave. BZ808 says, are you expecting any draft day moves? That's an excellent question. Maybe getting another second-round draft pick like they did. They bought into the second round last year and got Max Christie. The thing is, though, with what they have as far as assets, they can't really move far up into the draft. Maybe that you might see a trade for a future second-round draft pick thrown in there to get maybe a pick or two up, but they really can't move farther up in the draft with what they have as far as assets to throw at somebody. What they can do, though, is use that number 17 for an established player if they're really in a serious win now mode. But what does that get you? What does the 17th pick in the first round draft, this upcoming draft, what does that get you as an existing player? That's very interesting to see.
You're asking me what we could expect? What kind of a player?
Let's say they want to go out and start shopping for an existing player out there. Not you know, they use that 17th pick because they have to make the pick due to the Ted Stepien rule. But they can make it for a team and then trade that for an individual.
It would have to be, honestly, for the Lakers, at least if I was the general manager, if you're going to trade the 17th pick, it better be for a package that you're bringing some kind of third guy in that really would make this team go. Otherwise, no, I wouldn't do it. It would be a sign and trade with, let's say, Austin Reeves involved, the 17th pick, and change for a Dame Lillard. That's it. I know we don't want to chase the third star thing. We don't want to do that. But there's a difference between chasing a third star who's not a third star and chasing a third star that is a third star. Matter of fact, he'd probably be the number one star. LeBron would take 1A and AD would take 1B. There's a difference there. There's a difference.
Well, maybe something like that will materialize. Obviously, reported right here at the Lakers Fast Break.
I don't think it will.
If it does.
But it's possible. It's possible because we've already gotten tidbits from, let's say, Damian Lillard, that he is going to test some things here. If Portland doesn't start winning, he is probably going to demand a trade. When would he demand a trade? Next offseason? I don't think so. I think if Portland starts out 20 and 30 this year, this next year, I think Portland does him a solid and trades him. I think he requests a trade, finally.
Well, we'll see what happens, my friend.
Did anyone think AD was going to be a Laker?
Well,
no.
He knew he wanted to be traded.
And he has no affiliation with L.A. He's from Chicago. There was never any discussion before that he wanted to go to L.A. But once he said, I want to go to L.A., New Orleans accommodated him. And I believe that Damian Lillard would be, especially Damian Lillard, that they accommodated Anthony Davis, and they didn't even like Anthony Davis at the end. Portland loves Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard has pulled his everything out of everything of his heart for Portland. It would be a disservice if they didn't honor his wish, but he would have to go to management and say, please trade me to the Lakers. For old time's sake.
But definitely see what happens, and we'll keep on reporting here at the Lakers Fast Break. But for Joe Soro, it's Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching this thing. Looking forward to more great content producing this week. Looking forward to it. See if we can do something maybe here by Friday. Definitely thinking maybe even tomorrow even. We'll see what happens as the news breaks, because you never know. The rumors and innuendo and news never stops, plus also the questions on what the Lakers will do this offseason also never stop. And you'll find a lot of the answers, hopefully, right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.